Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ghost riders in the sky. Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught them yet.
In 1949, Riders in the Sky by Vaughn Monroe was at the top of the music charts. President Harry Truman was inaugurated for his full term. And that was the last year that subway ridership was as high as it is now. Yippee-i-o, kaye on the L train. The MTA released their 2013 figures this week, and we learned that the annual ridership of 1.7 billion is the highest it's been in 65 years. So with these record numbers and the packed subway car you may have already been squeezed into this morning, we thought we would take a few minutes to look at what might ease our commutes, even as more people are joining us on the platforms. Gene Rushinoff of NYPERG's Strap Hangers campaign is back with us now. Hi, Gene. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So overall, ridership grew by about 3%. From 2012 to 2013 to get to the 65-year high. And ridership is measured by all passengers who enter the subway system in a year. So does that equal the number of swipes?
You asked me a mathematical question, so I'm not going to be, I don't know their methodology for doing it. I don't know, for example, how they treat.
All right. The answer is basically yes, I think. So yeah. I'll ask you more
I
of a.
I just said yes.
More of an impressionistic question. In your opinion, advocating for riders, is that 3% increase enough for us to feel it on our typical commute? If we were packed like sardines this morning, was it because there were 3% more riders?
Well, you know, I have to rely on anecdote, and I'm one of those riders who got bumped from the R train for 14 months while they fixed the tunnel. So I've been traveling on the F and on the A, and I'm astonished at how crowded it is, no matter when I appear early in the rush hour, late in the rush hour, and people are just, you know, smashed up against each other. The other day, I got an unfortunate woman who had the urge to scream, and she stood behind me during the entire ride between Manhattan and Brooklyn, and just screamed and screamed and screamed. And everybody in the train was like, "Well, this is the way it is."
And maybe that's the bottom line for crowded subway car etiquette. So, listeners, if you want to call in for Gene Rushinoff from the Strap Hangers campaign, he advocates for riders to the MTA and to the public at large. Call in with anything you want to say about our crowded subways or anything you want to ask, and maybe it's time for a subway etiquette refresher. So subway etiquette for crowded times, and maybe we just heard the most important one, just whatever it is, be mellow, take it light, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So let's analyze why this is happening, Gene. Last year, I know we learned that the city hit a population milestone, that for the first time since 1950, more people had moved into the city than left it in a given year. So the 1949 subway milestone is maybe not so incredibly shocking. Does it just follow population trends in the city?
Well, I would say that there are three basic factors in the boom we're seeing now. One is, New York has spent $105 billion, that's billion with a B, on buying new subway cars and buses, fixing track and signal. And this is all in response to the near death of the system in the early 80s. And so we now have a system that, if people look around and notice, there are a lot of newer cars and rehab stations, and the money's been invested, you know, I think wisely and effectively. So, I guess the equivalent is in other cities, they may have built a new light rail line, Denver or St. Louis. But in our case, we repair the existing line. So $105 billion, and, you know, frankly, if it wasn't much better, it would be pretty depressing. And then the other two are the fare discounts. What do you use?
What do you use?
Which you use?
Oh, you're asking me my subway line?
Yes.
Oh, the A and the number one primarily.
No. And do you use a 30-day pass?
Oh, yeah, I use a monthly.
Yeah, well, you know, they're wildly popular, the discounts, and they encourage people to ride more. If you have a discount, you can go to Midtown to do some shopping, or you could visit a friend, and there's no extra charge.
Right, it's definitely true in my case, on and off the subway extra times without really thinking about it at all if there's, you know, side trips I want to make and stuff like that.
And I would particularly note the free transfers between subways and buses. You know, we had 100 years of two fare zones. I grew up in one in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, and people counted their tokens because it cost you know, two tokens each way. And now, of course, it's basically free. And then the last thing I would say, it's along your lines about population, that there's a really close correlation between transit ridership and employment. And as the economy has slowly and grudgingly gotten better, so has the numbers for ridership on the subways, buses, and commuter rail lines.
Sean in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thanks.
I am primarily a late-night subway rider. I usually ride the subway after about 8 p.m. once I get off of work. And I've noticed that even between the hours of 8 and midnight, the subways can get just as crowded as they are during rush hour. It's impossible to get a seat, if even to find a place to stand on the subway. So I just wanted to find out if there's anything that's being done regarding late-night subways, if the MTA knows that it's a problem, and if there's any sort of relief coming to late-night subway riders.
They definitely know it's an issue, and they've actually produced photographs that show, you know, Bedford Avenue with, it looks like rush hour at Times Square. And if you want to club, go clubbing and not have a car that you have to sort of figure out what the hell to do with, this is the best way of getting around. So, you know, the off-peak weekend and the evening hours are much more populated than they used to be. You know, back in 1949, you saw these big numbers because it was after World War II, and the city worked three manufacturing shifts at least 6 days a week. Now, of course, we don't have that, but we have these other lifestyles that lead to people riding late.
Right. And by the way, that Bedford Avenue stop, the first stop on the L in Brooklyn and Williamsburg, I see the stats. Ridership has increased 50% since 2007. So that's not going to surprise anybody. I think we all know what's going on in Williamsburg. But also, the nature of rush hour is changing compared to 1949, isn't it? I mean, there was a quote from the executive director of the Permanent Citizens Advisory Committee to the MTA, Bill Henderson, in AM New York, that, you know, peak hours are flattening out more. Rush hour is a little more stretched out as people work at less traditional times than maybe the last peak of subway ridership in 1949, especially in the evening.
I agree with Bill. There may be other things that are going on at the same time too, like a lot of the weekend travel. I don't think it's all work. Maybe people are more willing to take the subways on the weekend when they think there's not a problem of safety, and when they're very transit dependent. You know, you have a lot of people using the system who don't own cars. We have the lowest car registration rate of any city in America. And so people are dependent on this to get around.
And you got to
be a hardy person to do that because they're, of course, doing all their repair work on the weekend, and it can make commuting quite challenging.
And I think we can use the L train as an example of something else here, too, which is what the MTA may need to do to satisfy the demand for the subways without, you know, making people so uncomfortable. Because a few weeks ago on the show, we discussed that report from the Center for an Urban Future about the city's aging infrastructure. And I asked researcher Adam Foreman about one stat in that report, that 37% of the city's subway signals had exceeded their useful life. And here's about 40 seconds of his explanation. And listen to how the L train plays into it.
It means that trains are moving slower. This is a major issue. On the L train, they updated the CBTC system, which is full modernization of signals, and they will increase throughput from 15 trains to 25. So you can massively increase capacity if you update the signals. It's something that needs to be done.
What is that time frame? 15 trains to 25
trains. Per hour.
Oh, per hour. That's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a huge increase. So when we hear on the train, when it's sitting there in the station or between stations in a tunnel or above ground, that we apologize for the delay, but there are signal problems.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that is about in many cases?
Often that's the issue, absolutely.
So, Gene Rushinoff, what's the state of the replacement of these signals? That is such a huge increase in capacity that he referenced there. What once they modernized the L train from 15 trains an hour to 25 trains an hour in rush hour? That's huge.
Yeah, they're working on the 7 now, and what the L and the 7 have in common is that they have their own right of way, and they don't have to merge. Merging is going to be really a challenge when they try to modernize the signals on, let's say, the 4 or 5. Or six. It's more modest on the 7. You know, I've been told that it's going to add like 3-4 trains during rush hour, and that makes a difference because it's just so incredibly packed. But the long-term outlook on this, I wish it was cheerier. But you know, it's going to take quite some time and cost quite a lot of money to modernize the signals throughout the system. But it's something that I think, you know, has to be part of their long-term plans, because the 11 of the 20 lines, subway lines, are above capacity. So you got to increase their capacity because they're serving neighborhoods that are growing.
And so you're complaining about Governor Cuomo's proposed budget. And, of course, they're on the budget deadline in those negotiations in Albany right now over the next few days to redirect $40 million of MTA funding. Does this affect modernization?
Well, maybe at some distant period. The bottom line is that $40 million, which could go to service or to keep the fare at a more reasonable level, is going to be taken by the state, by the governor, and being used to fulfill a commitment that the state already has made to pay off some other bonds. And the bottom line of it is that the $40 million, which would be used to make the riders' lives better, are going to be used to meet the governor's financial priorities, whatever it turns out they happen to be.
All right.
But we've been fighting this battle through a couple of governors, and you know, I think eventually, you know, if you dedicate a tax and say this is going to go to transit, and I'm voting for it because the system needs it, it's pretty much a three-card Monte game to then take the money and use it for something that's not transit.
All right. We have a good conversation that has broken out on our Facebook page, extremely lively, about subway etiquette. Let's bring a little of it onto the air in our last minute here. Let's see if we can go through at least three of these. Alexi in Brooklyn, real quick, right to the point. Subway etiquette for crowded times, including?
Letting people off the subway before getting on, and then also not standing in the doorway. Very basic etiquette.
That's my biggest one, too, not standing in the doorway. I can't believe people get on and they just stand there.
Tougher said than done in a very crowded car.
Jonathan in Manhattan, what's yours?
Hi. Big problem is when young people don't stand up for the elderly and the infirm. And almost every morning from Queens on the F train is horrible, horrible. And this is 24 years ago. People talk about subway being bad. It worked a lot smoother for a commute, I have to tell you.
Jonathan, I'm going to leave it there. And Gail in the Bronx, what's your subway etiquette for a crowded era?
Okay, my is what they're doing in Japan, where they push people in. I'm really along the 7 line, and it's become outrageous. None of the kids, you know, in the morning going to school will move away from the door, and you have to actually start going, excuse me, real loudly. There's room in the middle. And people looking at you.
The door. Gail in the Bronx on it, too. Are you ready at the strap hangers campaign for the pushers with, like, those cattle prods like they use in Japan to squeeze as many people into the trains as possible?
Not yet. I do have one etiquette that dates back to when the subways were really bad in the early 80s, and riders submitted it to us, and it said, never get onto a subway car that has a chalk outline of a body on the floor. So you've come a long way, because that macabre humor doesn't apply.
Gene Rushinoff from the Strap Hangers campaign, as we learned that the subways are now officially as crowded as they were in 1949 for the first time since then. Thanks a lot, Gene. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.